Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 70 of the Natural Beard Internet Radio podcast, Beardcast. Bibbidi boop bop. I am Brian Belita. I am your host tonight. Wes Gardner is away, but I'm joined by two of the normals, and finally joined by a new addition. So we have Imran Khan.
Yo.
We have Mark Bradshaw.
That's Copperhead Mark Bradshaw Extreme.
Copperhead Mark Bradshaw Black Mamba. And we are joined by Matt Pierce.
Esta mi dia primero.
And I didn't realize he was only fluent in Spanish, so this is going to be a little difficult.
Pretty much all the Spanish I learned working at Burger King or watching The Simpsons.
Excellent. So yeah, so you've probably already seen some content from Matt Pierce up on NightTrooper.com. He wrote that piece on Rage, and we've kind of asked him to come aboard full-time. We've mentioned in the past, but now we've actually got him on with us, so thanks for joining us, Matt.
There's no problem. Full-time apparently seems to mean like an article every 2 or 3 weeks, so...
that's much more frequent than my output.
Full!
Yeah, well, it's, I don't know, it's with the new year, it's still pretty soon into the new year, and people were taking vacations, like I was just on my honeymoon and stuff, so things have been kind of slow on NightTrooper.com, but we'll hopefully be picking up soon.
I'd like to apologize for that, but there have literally been two retail releases for the entirety of January, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
I
really there's don't. Not enough wallet abuse content. It's not really wallet abuse when it's only two releases, it's just kind of wallet prodding.
Wallet molestation a little bit, I guess.
Oh, no. Not touch my wallet like that.
Wallet repressed memories.
Oh, no.
Show me on the wallet where the wallet touched you.
Show me on the wallet where Toys R Us touched you.
Is that where you do all your video? Oh, that's right. That is where you do all your video game shopping.
No, fuck you. I don't go to Toys R Us.
Yeah, I was about to say, you just walking into Toys R Us and like with a notepad looking over the game shelf.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Especially, there's only really one Toys R Us here, and it's the one with the huge fucking Ferris wheel that every goddamn tourist kid in the world has to come visit. So it's just really not a good scene.
Do you ever ride the Ferris wheel?
Not lately.
Okay, just checking. So, well, what were the releases this week? You can do a quick on-air wallet abuse.
The releases for the past month have literally been Crush 3D and, God, some fucking thing that I looked up. Hang on a second.
This is going I'm not sure Crush 3D came out. Let me
look at it. It has Metacritic scores, so something happened. I don't know if it's like a it was like a European release or some shit. Hang on a second.
Actually, to the review on Crush3D.com, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, okay. Crush3D.com gives Crush 3D a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it weirdly has 100% Metacritic rating, too. So, Gotham City Imposters, apparently.
I thought that got delayed or something. At least it's out?
It's out.
Oh, could have fooled me.
It panicked me for a little bit because I was looking at the VG releases thing, and Anarchy Reigns showed up. I was like, holy shit, Anarchy Reigns! I finally get something to play, and oh no, Anarchy Reigns,
summer.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that game? What is Anarchy Reigns?
I don't know.
I know the title, but I...
The spiritual sequel to Mad World.
That's right. I remember now. Yes, because there's that, and then there's also Lollipop Chainsaw, and I kind of get those confused.
Lollipop Chainsaw is a spiritual sequel to No More Heroes.
Got it. Right. Okay, I got a
crazy Japanese shit, but I hate to say it, but like the only.
What is Crash 3D the spiritual successor to?
Crush
2D.
Got it. Okay.
The PSP game, which is actually not a bad
PSP
game,
game,
but it gets boring.
Yeah. Some of the puzzles were pretty, but anyways, actually, a pretty neat indie game hit Steam this week. Cube, Qube.
Which, oh yeah, I saw that.
Which stands for like, I'm gonna Google this. Pardon me.
It's
Portal,
system.
But with cubes instead of portals.
Right. It's
just to be sure.
Questionable
this is,
understanding. Oh,
quick
no.
Understanding of block extrusion. So it kind of has a portal aesthetic. And that, you know, this kind of very clean white technology rooms. But with this, you can kind of manipulate the panels and stuff. It looks pretty neat and interesting. So probably worth $15. I'm going to pick it up at some point, hopefully soon.
Now, apparently a bunch of, like, Portal, like, inspired things are coming out. The one where you're the kid in, like, your eccentric grandfather's Laboratory changing dimensions thing. Yes. Did that come out yet?
No, I think that's still under development. Okay. But yeah, that does look pretty interesting.
What was the one that the woman who made Portal went into a different company to make?
That's the one we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's the Portal one. I can't remember what it's called, though. But yeah, so I know that came out, but there's always stuff coming out on Steam. And also, pretty neat indie game Dust Force, 2D platforming crazy thing. I don't even know how to describe it. Acrobatic platformer, I guess, sort of, is coming out, I think, tomorrow. I believe I saw them just send out a tweet that is coming out tomorrow on Steam.
Acrobatic platform in the vein of Mirror's Edge or what?
It's 2D. I would say more along the lines of Super Meat Boy. Okay. Although perhaps not as masochistic.
Right.
What's the point? Yeah, right, what's the point? I don't know, it might be as masochistic, I'm not sure. But so you should definitely check that out. I don't know what the price point is at this point. But it looks really cool. I posted up a video on Edgebeard a while ago. Go check it out. But yeah. So, right, since this is the first time we have Matt Pierce on with us, I would like to delve deeper into the mind of Matt Pierce and find out a little bit of his video gaming background.
Background?
Was that a printer? I just heard like a dot matrix printer there.
That was my phone.
Okay. I thought someone had a trailer set up for Matt Pierce.
Right.
Where the fuck was my trailer?
In a world. Video games.
Whatever, Matt. Just
where'd you get started?
Forza, Matt. Whatever. Don't listen to these people. Forza 3 or Gran Turismo 5. Which one? Make a choice now. Forever.
Gran Turismo 5.
Fuck you.
That's not even a question.
Not Forza 4.
Also, it's Forza. That's your pronunciation thing that drives me nuts.
Isn't it Forza? Yeah.
It's Forza. Like pizza.
It's bullshit. There's no T in that shit. That's not Forza. I know how to pronounce things. There's no T in there.
In order to pronounce it like that, I have to kind of preface it with like a bibbidi bobbidi Forza. But I can't just say Forza normally. It just sounds weird. But sorry, go on. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I've been playing since like 85. I've been a console gamer almost the entire time. I dabbled in PC gaming only a little bit in college. Mostly because my family was too poor to own a PC until I went to college. So, like, I started PC gaming with, like, Quake 3.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's before that is all, like, stuff I went back to later. But up until, like, 2007, I was definitely, like, one of the people in the console wars backing Nintendo. And that lasted about as long as I was really excited for something coming out, and then none of the third parties were. So it was clear right away that even though I was super hyped for this thing, nothing that I really wanted to play was going to be, like, rushed to the platform.
So were you a forum member at ConsoleWarsWithAZ.com?
No.
No, okay, just checking.
Oh, I was on Penny Arcade for that whole thing. And then
so basically the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Back when people had the mega threads going, and it was a monthly occurrence to say, the Wii, 2 months later, is it a fad? The Wii, 3 months later, is it a fad?
Is it a gimmick?
Well, yeah.
So what consoles are you in possession of at this moment?
Like, what's in my house, or what am I currently playing?
Those
are very different lists.
I would like to hear both, actually.
Okay, or combine them. I've got the Xbox 360 out for Forza 4, the Wii out just all the time, because that's like a rotation of Wii Fit and Mario Galaxy. I recently got Sonic Colors, but it's not going so great. The PS3 is out for nightly Gran Turismo.
Right.
I recently shelved my Dreamcast. I was trying to get another run of Shenmue going, and that didn't fly.
Because the console was not working, or you just weren't into it?
At first, it was the console not working. I had to flip my Dreamcast upside down to get it to read discs again.
Oh, man, I remember doing that with my PlayStation 1.
Yeah. And then after having to restart the game like 6 times and watch the unskippable intro, that's when I just shelved it. I couldn't take it. I couldn't get to the first save point without the disk read error coming up.
No. But now you definitely won't forget the day the rain turned to snow.
Let's see, what else is... the 3DS is in constant rotation because I just finally gave in. I was eventually going to buy my own 3DS because the one we have now is linked to my wife's Club Nintendo account. But I finally gave in, got Pushmo, Mighty Switch Force, and Zen Pinball 3D.
I have a feeling that I'm soon going to do the same and pick up a 3DS.
There were some pretty crazy deals over winter.
Yeah, I should just keep my eye out. I keep seeing like the price drops like every 2 months or something.
I guess you're being aggressive with that sort of thing. How do you like Pushmo, by the way?
Pushmo's good. It's getting a little tougher now. I'm up to the murals section with the dinosaurs.
I have this weird relationship with the game where I'll struggle with a puzzle for 20 minutes, put it down in frustration, come back, not even remember what puzzle it is, and figure it out immediately.
Oh, yeah.
So your
brain is ticking away at it while you sleep.
Is Pushmo this game with like the custom content? You can kind of like dole out a QR code or something?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is... I can't remember. I've probably already asked this on a previous cast, but explain to me again what Pushmo is.
It's like a puzzle game where you have a block set. It may be a mural or it may be a design puzzle where you have to have one block open at all times and the rest can come out 3 planes forward. So you have to find a way to platform up to the top, basically,
by
pushing and pulling those blocks.
Hmm.
It's
simple,
difficult to explain without,
nice.
Like, actually, you know, you having a first-hand thing
right.
with it. But
yeah,
it's one of the better, more interesting puzzle games the last couple of years.
Oh, cool.
If you saw, like, 5 seconds of, like, Pushmo video, you'd know exactly what Pushmo was about.
Okay, I will look that up right now.
I've been playing a lot of Pushmo. The only thing that really bugs me about it is, like, the platforming is kind of awful in the game. I mean, the pushing and pulling is really great, but like trying to figure out exactly where your little guy can like make a valid jump is kind of terrible.
You can only make jumps of 1 space or more. Once I figured that out, it became a lot easier.
No, but you can also make jumps like 2 spaces if you're jumping from above to below, and also like getting like exactly what the rules are for like jumping in and out of like the background and stuff.
Oh my god, this game looks so goddamn cute.
It's freaking adorable.
Oh, this game is going to melt my heart.
My issue with it is it has a really annoyingly long tutorial.
Oh,
yeah,
like,
and
they really didn't need to.
So
and
can
the
we...
tutorial pops up like in weird places too. Like 20 levels later, you'll show and your little fat guy that tells you how to do everything will show up, and he'll tell you something you already figured out like 4 hours ago. So it's super frustrating.
So, speaking of long tutorials, and I know Matt just mentioned, like, unskippable intros and cutscenes, and a while ago on NetroBeard, I posted a video of some guy made, like, if Quake were made today, and I just want to talk real quick about how goddamn annoying, like, unskippable company logos and shit in the beginnings of games are.
I'm so
sick of it.
I wonder how much that has to do with, like, licensing agreements that they have to show, like, the logo for a certain amount of time.
Right, I'm sure it does, but it's just, I mean,
Well, good developers will do it, and then they'll allow some way to skip over it after
right,
that.
To skip over it or, you know, or even disable it. I know some companies have.
You know, the worst offender for that was any of the Arkham games, because they'll show up and there's just, like, like 4 or 5 screens just full of fucking logos and just packed to the brim with logos.
And you always get the Havoc logo and
the Bink logo.
Bink, right? Bink video. But yeah, so like
Dreamcast games were pretty okay with that because they buy the Dreamcast SDK. I guess came with a bunch of Cry tools,
yeah.
So or CRI. I guess it's not the same company that makes Crytek,
right?
But
oh yeah, yeah.
They would all come up like one screen with 5 logos on it, and then it's gone.
That would be nice. But like, I started up Rage recently. Finally, Matt and I actually played a little bit of the co-op side missions the other night. But I mean, that's one, you know, where it shows up the ID logo and then Bethesda, and then it shows you Rage, and then press Enter to start. And I'm like, no, just take me to the menu. Don't make me hit a button to get to the menu where I'm going to go to anyways. And
I'll send you the command lines later. There's a command line you can add to your Steam profile to disable those.
Okay, good. Well, and I know sometimes you can just like rename the video files or something like that. But yeah, I definitely need to do that. But man, I'm just.
Why does that game have a start screen anyway?
I don't
press enter.
It's just console, I guess. I don't know. I mean, did they?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it's just
the only
something
thing I
that
can think of.
I think they just exist because they figure they need to exist.
Right.
There's no real reason for them to be there.
Yeah.
So I know when Gearbox is asking for like tips for Borderlands 2, I bet this really long thing, and they included how long it takes to actually load up the game. The fact that I had to like go to the INI file to remove the logos in front.
Yeah.
Because it was like a 2-minute process.
Yeah. Well, and then Bulletstorm, which I've been playing a lot of recently as well, also does it. And unfortunately, like the FMV or you know whatever the video for that is like 400% louder than anything else on my computer, and like my you know quick mute button on my keyboard doesn't work, so I just have to take my headphones off and hold them away from my face while that FMV starts, and then it's just infuriating. I mean, I'm sure there's a way around it too. I just haven't gotten to it yet, but just like let me
Rage
skip it.
Look, damn it,
Rage
we paid
do that too.
Rage will?
Because Rage doesn't load your sound settings until after the logo.
Right, until like your profile is loaded or whatever.
Yeah, look, so if you turned all your volume down.
Yeah. Mark, what was it?
I said, look, damn it, we paid $2 million for the CGI intro. You're going to fucking hear it. You're going to know when it comes up.
Speaking of Borderlands, if you idle too much at the main menu, which, I mean, occasionally you do because I'd start the main menu up and go get some water or something, it would start the intro of the game, the CG intro, which is unskippable.
Oh, brilliant. That's great.
It's about 3
minutes
long, and you cannot
yes,
leave.
Yes, I remember that, yeah. Yes.
So I have to like basically control-alt-delete out of the game.
Right. Yeah, so video game companies, just either fucking let us disable them, or just let us click. Just let us click to skip them. Make us watch it the first time, sure. Whatever. Make us watch it once. But after that, just no. Don't make me spend 3 minutes getting before I can even play your game.
Your stories aren't that important, and we don't care about them that much anyway.
We know who made the game, maybe, sometimes. But anyways, so that was a complete tangent, but yeah. So what are you playing? I mean, I guess you kind of alluded to it right now, Matt, but so you're playing Rage on a computer, though, right? Is that a Mac or a PC? I mean, did you recently build one, a new one?
That's actually a PC I got from my younger brother when he got stationed overseas. He couldn't bring his full tower with him. So I got that and kept it up to date. It's a PC Quad Phenom with a GeForce 8800 GTS.
Nice.
So basically, a great gaming rig.
Yeah, seriously. That
there's no way in hell I would have paid for if I had to pay for it myself.
Right. You just don't do enough. Well, now that you have it, you should take advantage of it. And
that's basically what got me to finally install Steam. You know, I was given this great gaming computer, and I finally said, you know what? There's no reason not to anymore.
Yeah.
And then I missed last year's sale because it wouldn't post.
Oh,
but
yeah, and that's PC gaming. PCs in general, anyways. Like I was sure after I got back from my honeymoon, just for no good reason whatsoever, just after 10 days, you know, or 11 days of my computer being off and unplugged, that I would start it up and have some catastrophic problem happen. Like there's just that moment where I press the power button, I'm just like, oh come on, please just start up. I know you should, but it's not gonna. But it worked out fine, so. It's rewarding, but can be very frustrating at times. But I love it. So what else are you playing? Anything else other than what you mentioned over going over your consoles?
I'm trying my hardest to like Half-Life, and it's not going so well.
The original Half-Life?
Well, that I tried for about 2 hours and gave up, so I went to Half-Life 2. And I think I'd like the game if it weren't for the driving sections.
Yeah, I feel you on that one.
I can understand that, especially going back after games now. I don't know.
Yeah. Suffice it to say, the car in that game, the buggy in Half-Life 2, does not control as well as the buggies in Rage or anything else.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I still love the game, But
I think part of it has to be context, just the way it was so far ahead of its time then.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't feel that way now. So when I started getting into PC gaming, that was like the first game I played. And it's difficult to get into because all these parts are like, oh, this part is really scary. And it's like, oh, I can shoot a saw blade at this guy's neck and he dies really easily. Shrug.
What's about the about Ravenholm?
Yeah, that's where I quit, I think.
Yeah.
I've never actually gotten past Ravenholm.
What? You gotta get past Ravenholm.
Ravenholm gets a lot more. Did you get to the part in Ravenholm where you found the crazy ass priest?
I talked to him and he was like up in a window or something.
Right.
And I think there was like a puzzle right after that with electrical stuff, and I think I quit there.
Okay. Well, if you got that far into it and you still didn't love it, there's really nothing the game can do.
It's not like it was a bad game. It's just it's difficult to feel that context of what it was doing right at the time.
Yeah. When did you actually finally get around to playing it?
I think it was 2008.
All right. You see, the big problem with that is like so much stuff took cues from Half-Life and Half-Life 2 that it was impossible to like experience that fresh.
Yeah.
So you're probably just looking at all the elements that it put in there and probably, frankly, like better games that were released since then. It's like, it seems kind of derivative even when it was actually the original to do a lot of that stuff.
With a lot of stuff like RPGs and things, that has not iterated or been iterated upon enough or improved upon. So you can really go back to Dragon Quest V and feel like, oh, this is still a good game. But with Half-Life, it's difficult to actually play it and be actively involved. Because FPSs, I mean, as much as they stay stale and stall and all that, they improve a lot in ways we usually don't notice.
Right.
And right now, like, the FPS thing is, like, you know, being fast and corridor shootery.
Right.
And not having little stupid jumping floor-level enemies to shoot.
Unless you're playing Duke Nukem Forever.
Ugh. So I thought I was done with that when I tried. Oh God!
I'm just gonna cut out.
This is like
that
a Daikatana shit coming up.
I'm just gonna cut out that little snippet. The except in Duke Nukem Forever, ugh. And that'll be the review. The Duke Nukem Forever review.
It'll be like the Brink review I put up in the Goaty podcast. Or Goaty,
Brink.
Yep.
I love Brink.
I wonder like how much that same effect would have even like stuff fairly recently, like Bioshock. Haven't actually gone back to play Bioshock in a couple of years. I wonder if, like, how digestible it'd be now. Just, like, the stuff it did with, like, the Bida chambers and stuff.
I feel like the combat would probably wear thin quicker.
Yeah, because the combat wasn't exactly a strong point to begin with.
Yeah, but at the time, like, in that point in the generation, we have not had a game like Bioshock.
Yeah.
And now we have a bunch of games like Bioshock, and a lot of them are named Bioshock.
Right.
Something shock. But yes. So, and what about you, Imran?
What have I been playing?
Yes.
I started playing Mario Galaxy 2. Because when it first came out, I had a bunch of stuff going on, so I got to World 2 or 3, and I just kind of stopped. But I was watching that Mario Galaxy stream on SDA last week.
Oh, right.
So I figured, you know, now's a good time. And that game is really fantastic.
It's really good.
Surprisingly so.
I stopped playing, like, two levels, I think, before the last boss because I ran out of AA batteries. I still haven't gotten any new batteries. So I'm going to bite the bullet soon and order these USB rechargeable ones. Like, the cap just kind of flips open and you just recharge it by USB. Because I can't bring myself to actually buy AA batteries unless they're rechargeable.
300 that I bought at Sam's Club one. I don't want to say drunken evening, but
man, I just got hammered this one night. I went out and I woke up and I just like 300 AA batteries just everywhere.
I've been there,
covered in them, pants full of batteries.
You really feel charged the next day.
It's 2 in the morning. You're inside Walmart and it's just like, I'm inside the electronics section and why not?
You know what I need? I need batteries. Well, that's pretty cool. So I'm hopefully soon going to also resume playing Super Mario Galaxy 2 because that's a rad.
The music in that game is really like ridiculously good.
It's super good.
Like World 3 has some sort of really downbeat piano piece, which is not something you'd expect from a Mario game. It holds up with like a lot of the bigger John Williams-esque orchestras that a lot of games have these days.
I cried more than I cried after the Yearling. I'm just kidding.
He didn't cry at the early goodnight.
I didn't cry at the early goodnight. Anything else?
Let's see. We played Questionable Ethics in Left 4 Dead.
Yes, we played Questionable Ethics, right, which is a custom campaign that some dude, I should probably know their name for podcasting sake, but whatever. So some guy made a custom campaign for Left 4 Dead 2 called Questionable Ethics, and the way I put it kind of when we were just chatting, preambling before the cast was it kind of mixes Portal 2 or Portal in general with Left 4 Dead in that it kind of thrusts the four Left 4 Dead survivors into some madman's I don't know
experiment.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. It's fairly plain and wide open, but it's very well made and a good idea. So I don't want to spoil anything.
It was pretty funny because we chose a server that had a bunch of.
Oh my god! Right.
The thing is, we came to rely on those things it was doing.
Yeah, we did.
Because we could not work with another server after that.
Right. The server that we had joined, some dedicated server, had these mods installed. Like, I don't know. Basically, you had unlimited ammo. Anytime you reloaded, it would like up your main bullet count. And then all the melee weapons would launch the zombies like 400 yards at 300 miles per hour. I'm sure the math on that doesn't actually work out, but disregard that. But,
and yeah, I had a shotgun, the tier 1 shotgun with 300 shotgun shells.
Yeah.
Which, if you know anything about Left 4 Dead, you know that entirely breaks the game.
Right, because usually you get like 80 and you're done with it in about 5 minutes. But yeah, so, and there were things like the adrenaline shot that you get in Left 4 Dead would last for like 20 minutes. So the first time I saw Imran, you know, kind of slam one in and he's still buzzing around like a friggin' jackrabbit, just kind of running around everything and you wouldn't get tired. There was no melee fatigue. So he was just constantly right clicking, smacking things with the butt of his rifle.
I was like the Flash. I would literally run through a group of zombies and like you'd just hear the melee sound going,
and then a bunch of zombies fall down and
yeah. die.
It was pretty hilarious. If you have Left 4 Dead and play it, you should just do a quick Google for Questionable Ethics Left 4 Dead 2, and you can find it. We'll try to put it in the show notes. Yeah, so it was good. There's some good custom Left 4 Dead stuff out there. You just gotta find it. I hate mountains.
That's also a map. Brian does not just actually hate mountains.
No, I no, you're right.
Beside the point where he hates mountains.
Yeah. and Mark, only Nintendo games, right?
You know, I wish I could say, I wish I could deny that. The problem is, I had jury duty this week.
Oh, well, man.
Last week. Yeah, well, it worked out well because I basically had to serve one day because we basically just sat around waiting for these asshole district attorneys to decide who they wanted to take or not. And at the end of it, they just let the rest of us go home, and so I'm done for 8 years. But
nice.
during the rest of the time, I had like jack all to do. So I brought my 3DS with me, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, I basically just played a bunch of like Pushmo, and I'm finally getting around to playing Cave Story, which I never actually played because I don't have. Don't want to play platformers using a keyboard and mouse.
Now, is this 3DS version? Is that because they made a 3D version of it? Or is this like the original quote unquote Cave Story?
This is the one that's on DSiWare, which I'm assuming is the DSi version, and is basically the one that took Nicholas 3 years to actually finish.
Okay, so it's not 3D.
No, it's not the 3D. It's not the one with the god awful looking new graphics.
Okay, groovy.
Yeah.
Just curious.
And basically, I didn't realize that this is basically a Metroid. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It's cute Metroid.
I decided to try and play a little bit more, trying to get back into Ninja Gaiden 1 again.
By Ninja Gaiden 1, do you mean Xbox? Or?
Yeah, the Xbox version, because I'm not mad enough to play the next version. That's just, I can't do that to myself. Played some of that. I came to realize like the airship level in that game might be like the best video game level ever made. Like the
it's
second.
It's too
second
long. Period. Like the moment you get long. To that point where you have to climb across the wire.
Yeah.
That's like okay, this level has gotten far too long, and it's still like half over at that point.
Yeah, and that's not kind of like the optional shit you can do. Like you can go inside the warehouse with the golden scarab hidden on top of it, and basically just fight ninjas for 10 solid fucking minutes, just because the game lets you do things like this because it's crazy. I don't know if like. I like that level better than the Vigorian hub world that you go into immediately after that.
Yeah.
But that's the version with the spider ninjas and that.
Like literally spiders that are ninjas also.
They're kamikaze ninjas that roll up to you and explode.
Yeah, and they will also do this thing where they throw like a sticky bomb at you, and if you don't hit like a roll exactly right when the sticky bomb would explode, you take damage, like a lot of damage, and you can't do anything about this.
The one thing you can do is you can I don't know if they changed it for black, but you could be in a roll or a jumping spin,
yeah,
and you would not take damage if it exploded in the, like frame data kind of timing.
Yeah, that's what I wonder if that's, it was exploit or something you could actually pull off, but that's kind of like the point where I stopped the first time I tried to play Ninja Gaiden. I'm playing Sigma for the PS3. Mm-hmm. So that's the point where I kind of stopped the first time, so I can't really remember exactly what happens beyond that point. Trying to, because, you know, Ninja Gaiden 3 is coming out in the relatively near future.
About a month.
About a month. I don't know if I trust those guys without Itagi there, you know?
Well, I mean, Itagaki kind of ruined 2 to an extent. Which, I mean, his excuse is they didn't pay him, which is, I suppose, a pretty valid excuse. But I'm curious to see, like, he's made one really good Ninja Gaiden game, and I kind of like Dragon Sword, so maybe they'll be able to make something good out of this.
Maybe. I think the parts of Ninja Gaiden 2 that were good were really good, but there was clearly parts where they were just phoning that shit in, and they were just tired of developing it or whatever. But the crazy shit that they did put in there was kind of fantastic.
I finished it on the Xbox, and I have Sigma, so maybe I'll finish it at some point through that. But I am looking forward to 3, but I don't think that $60 is... Like, there's so many games coming out right now, and I'm just not going to buy any of them.
Well, here's the problem with...
Fuck that noise.
Here's the problem with buying Ninja Gaiden, the process of buying Ninja Gaiden 3. They've already pulled this shit where you buy a Ninja Gaiden and then they release either Black or Sigma like a year later. So does it really make sense?
Well, they've already announced the enhanced version, but thus far they've only announced it for Wii U.
Oh, brilliant. So you're going to get basically the director's cut like a year later for cheaper. It doesn't make sense for them not to go ahead and put it out in everything they've got. So I don't know.
Well, which would you prefer? As someone who presumably is not going to buy a Wii U are at launch,
right.
Would you prefer that they put one out everywhere or just keep it to that system?
You know, I'd honestly prefer they just... Because if they're going to do it like that, where they had Ninja Gaiden 3 and then they released the director's cut, I prefer they keep it to that system because that way they could like, do to the strengths of that particular system.
Yeah, so basically the Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2 kind of model.
Yeah. I don't mind that. If they can pull it off where they can, like, I don't know exactly how the differences are made, but if they can do that, then fine. Brilliant. Go ahead and do that. The people who own that console will have something special, and if you buy the console later on, you have something to look forward to.
See, I'm hoping for a price collapse. Like, I hope they massively overship it so I can just get it for $20 with the DOA demo.
Yeah, it's probably exactly...
Which, by the way, holy crap bullshit.
What's
exclusive demo if you buy the game new.
Oh, really?
Yes.
DOA
5?
Yeah, the DOA 5 demo is with it. And you only get, on PS3, you get 2 characters. On 360, you get 2 different characters.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. So you can't even get the demo for... Wow.
Oh, you can, but with DLC.
Right.
You can get all 4 characters on one side if you buy them.
If you buy the demo.
If you have the demo, but buy the characters.
Oh.
So you have to have a new copy of Ninja Gaiden 3. To have all 4 characters, you have to spend, I'm guessing, about $70.
This is the Assassin's Creed different versions all over again.
This is even crazier because this actually makes a difference. I mean, Assassin's Creed is just like...
Right, it was bonus stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a costume. This is characters, which is like the only thing in a fighting game that matters.
Well, the DOA 5 is going to be DLC to hell, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a game that, like, you spent most of your time unlocking costumes, and you know those costumes are all going to be DLC.
And these are the most pervy, most disgusting costumes imaginable. So yeah,
they know their audience.
Yeah, they're going to sell a shit ton of that stuff.
Yeah.
Poor Hitomi. She's just not going to get any rest.
So you've just been subjecting yourself to Ninja Gaiden for the most part and Pushma.
Yeah, as far as that console stuff, that's basically all I've been doing. I've kind of holding off buying anything new until I see exactly what the glut's going to look like here in January.
Fair enough.
March is the big push, I think.
Yeah,
so whichever month. I'm not going to buy anything until March, because then I can actually decide.
Yeah, well, whichever month has the Mass Effect 3 in it is the month I care about, and then fuck everything past that, because that's
March. March 6th specifically.
Yeah.
That's the day that everyone's releasing everything, and I feel like it's because that's the second day of GDC, and nobody can really review anything then.
Brilliant. It's a good trick.
Well, So
what have you been playing?
Me. So for those of you that don't know, for the last, like, between the January 5th and the 15th, I was finally taking my honeymoon. My wife and I have been married for 3 years, and it just kept getting put off and put off. So we finally took it. So I did some gaming on the long train rides and late at night, but only on iOS. So on an iPad or iPhone. So I'll just kind of give it quick, but some great games on that are Justin Smith's Realistic Summer Sports Simulator. I'm not even lying. it's by the guy that made EnviroBear. For anyone who doesn't know, it's a really crazy game where you're a bear driving a car.
Who is driving?
A bear.
How can that be?
It's a bear. I mean, bears can drive cars.
No, that's
Ryan, you're the worst.
I don't. What did I miss?
Only six episodes.
Only six episodes. God damn it, I don't know anything. But so I've been playing that, and that's kind of a funky, it's like lo-fi, old-school graphics, super pixely, but with physics. And it's got a whole bunch of different, like, joust, or not joust, I'm just, god damn it, I was reminiscing joust. About Mark's old. Like javelin, there's, like, diving, so just imagine kind of flinging a little pixely guy around the screen, trying to complete tasks, like riding a bike. It's pretty amazing. I've been playing that. I've been playing Squids on iOS, which is a pretty fun kind of like turn-based action RPG. I'm not even sure. It's pretty neat. Check it out. I'm not going to talk about it too much. One I do want to talk about, though, is Elder Sign Omens. So you've probably heard me talking about Arkham.
Is this part of a cult you've joined? What's yes. going on here,
dude? No. So you've probably heard me talk about Arkham Horror, the board game on the cast before. Really great board game by Fantasy Flight Games, and they put out kind of a miniature version for iOS. That's not quite Arkham Horror, but just kind of a light version in that same universe. So it's pretty neat. It's a board game to go, so that's pretty fun. But anyway, so that's shitty little iOS gaming. But I have been putting a lot of time into Bulletstorm, finally. And that game is really, really fun. And it has good writing.
Okay, this is the fuck you in your dick, ass dick, fuck you.
Yeah,
game, right?
Yes, this is the I'll kill your dick game. I can't. I know Imran's played it. Mark, have you played it?
I have not. I've been trying to wait on the price drop for it, because that's like what? That's the 5 hour long game, basically. We're looking at.
I don't know. I'd have to look to see
it's
how.
It's not long, but I would say probably 5 to 7 hours. Yeah.
What about you, Matt? Have you? I'm gonna guess no, but have you played Bulletstorm?
No, not yet.
Okay. According to Steam, I've put 6 hours into it, and I don't know. I still haven't finished it. But I imagine I'm probably close to the end. It feels like. So yeah.
And also, they were expecting a lot of DLC for that. They just never panned out, right? Or
they released like the multiplayer or co-op component are kind of little arenas. So I think they released some, you know, downloadable extra maps for that. So multiplayer stuff, sure. I don't know about any single player stuff. Are they doing a second one? Have they talked about that at all?
They explicitly said that the series did not make money, so they're not going to do a second one.
Well, damn, that's unfortunate.
So Gearbox is now stuck making Gears of War games for the foreseeable future.
People can fly, but yes.
Right, yeah, people can fly.
Whichever, same damn thing.
So that's a really good game. And then I finally today started up the single-player portion of Rage, which I've been looking forward to, especially after reading Matt's write-up about it.
Just to be sure, we're talking about the game and not the emotion, right?
Yes, although right before we got started, I was like, hold on, give me a minute so I can quit Rage. Rage quit! Which I thought was a little funny, but it's not really. But Matt and I will probably do some more of the co-op stuff, which is kind of fun. We played a bit last night, although I had no idea what I was doing, so I was just kind of following Matt around and shooting mans.
And watching me get killed.
Right, and watching Matt get killed occasionally.
How John Goodman-y is it?
So the first, like, I don't know, maybe 10th of the game. Has John Goodman giving you missions.
Yeah, I mean, so far in the however long I've put into the single-player campaign, which is probably about 15 to 20 minutes, it's like 100, it's very John Goodman-y.
They should do is they should get him in a studio and let him just write off quests, just say whatever's on his mind, just and build the game around that.
That would be great. Oh, man, John Goodman's Rage Quest. I would play that game.
They'll just start, like, going into old roles, calling you Roseanne.
Oh no, or his role in on Community as the what is he, like the assistant dean or something?
The vice dean.
Vice dean, but it's he's more sinister than that. But I don't want to spoil Community for anyone who hasn't watched Community. But yeah, so let's take a break, dudes, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about how Razer is gonna be the savior of PC gaming. We're gonna talk about Pin Arcade starting a new site, maybe. With a dude from a thing, THQ, and a bunch of other stuff. We'll be back. Deathly silence with the quiet tactile feedback of the Razer Black Widow Stealth Edition, or do you want to go loud with the clicky tactile feedback of the Razer Black Widow? The choice is yours, Imran.
I'm overwhelmed.
With choice?
Yes.
You have two of them. You can go with Deadly Calm or Unbridled Rage.
Do people really want really loud keyboards? Is that a thing?
It is. There are people that do like super clicky keyboards.
They want the mechanical keyboards. It's not they want like obnoxiously loud keyboards. They just want the mechanical throw of like the old IBM keyboards.
Right.
That I can see.
I guess it's like being a PC gaming hipster, maybe.
Just amazing thing, like they're making like the mechanical keyboard is obviously like the one you'd want, but they said, oh, well, what if you want a silent keyboard? Because this is a huge issue with gamers. You know, you're sitting around like trying to game on your PC, and like somebody will notice you because your keyboard's making too much noise. I don't know what's going on there. Are you like in some kind of industrial environment where you're trying to like keyboard like on the down low?
Maybe it's like an alpha male thing that you're trying to attract women by this.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I think the loud keyboard pretty much just says, I don't live with anybody.
Yeah, so I'm gonna tell a quick story about a roommate I had. And I'm good friends with a roommate. I love this guy. But one year in college, I had a roommate who got one of these old IBM Model M keyboards. Super clicky keyboard. And this was the year that like World of Warcraft came out. And he got into it. And so at our college at the time, terrible internet, just absolutely terrible. And because everyone was like running LimeWire and Kazaa and shit, so during the day it was just terrible. It was like you'd literally be better on a 56K modem. And so he would like stay up all night. He would sleep during the day and stay up at night playing World of Warcraft with his clicky keyboard, which made it relatively hard to sleep. So yes, people buy them, and they're fun. I have no idea if my friend is going to listen to this. But if you do, I still
you're
love
an
you,
asshole.
Man. No,
fuck
I still
you.
Love you, man. No, he's a cool dude.
Well, he plays World of Warcraft.
There's actually a video of us destroying that keyboard later.
Like all Office Space style?
Yeah, pretty much. I should post it. I should see if I can drag it up and post it.
The thing is, it's like kind of an expensive keyboard now. So those things are selling for like $200 at one point.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe they do. But anyways, so right.
So they stopped making them.
But yeah, so they make clicky keyboards. I guess if you want to hear, you want that tactile feedback, you want to feel, I don't know, whatever.
I've gone through great efforts to make sure all my stuff is quiet as possible.
Me too.
And I live alone, so it's not like it really matters.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. But, right, so we started this talking about and quoting stuff on RazeZone.com for gamers by gamers. And what's the other website? Saving PC Gaming or something? PC Gaming is not
dead. PCGamingIsNotDead.com, I believe.
Well, thank God. Thank God for that. Thank God for Saving PC Gaming.
And that redirects to a thing that looks like an iPad with two Move controllers attached to the side. Because that's totally PC Gaming. Am I right?
Yes. That is, in fact, exactly what PC Gaming is.
Yeah.
Or is now, because they saved PC Gaming.
Could you imagine playing online multiplayer in a PC environment without a mouse?
Or a keyboard. I mean... you'd get owned hard, if I can use Razer's terminology.
Oh, God,
it just
I don't
seems
have
like
that
this is the most inelegant possible solution to virtual buttons. Like, why don't we just stick some crap on the side?
Just if this is their solution, where you the entire point of a tablet is that it's easy to use and it's portable and it's intuitive and it's really there for like browsing like the internet, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to take this form factor and we're going to take a couple PS Move controllers and slap it on the side where you can't get rid of them. Is it, at that point, why don't I just buy a laptop? Because I can actually do things with a laptop as well. And like I can actually like take it, play.
But this way, they get on the Wii U and iPad market or something. I don't know.
The weird thing is, I don't think these controllers are removable.
No, they're attached. I mean, they're on there.
Like, I could kind of understand if they, like, you know, it was just a thing and they sold a case that had, like, extra controller slots or something.
Sure, I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
It's straight up attached on there. There's no case for that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's actually the Razer tablet.
You couldn't possibly put that thing in a pocket or a backpack.
And you take it out somewhere with those controllers attached, and you look like an idiot.
Right. you really would. You would. But yeah, so Razer, of course, has...
This is why no one takes us seriously, you know, because you can't take that out.
Companies like Razer. And yeah, well, I was listening to the Electric Hydra podcast the other day for the first time, which is made up of...
Razer employees?
No, it's not. it's actually... hold on one second, I'm just pulling this up. It's... made up of Brad Nicholson, who works at Tetricade and Giant Bomb, Jim Sterling, who reviews editor for Destructoid, an editor for Destructoid, Joseph Leray, and some guy who owns a company called Rockmelon Soda. I don't know. But so it's a pretty good podcast. You should check it out. But they were talking about the VGAs and how, you know, it's great that, or, well, sarcastically great, that's, you know, the representation of video gaming and, you know, the gaming community. But, yeah, I completely forgot where I went there. But, yeah, Razer, so they're a company. They have a lot
And because it's Razer, there's going to be, like, glowing, like, blue LED lights that can completely sear the retina at the highest...
There's a Tron mouse pad that leaves a trail wherever you move the mouse.
Does your mouse explode if it hits the trail?
Right, you can't go back over your own trail. That would be pretty brilliant. So apparently Razer is going to be the savior of PC gaming because it's dead, if you didn't know.
Well, they went on this big rant later about how they're the only ones who are passionate enough to save PC gaming.
Right, and,
because
then
got
we...
a $50 million... they never explained where this $50 million came from. It was a grant. They just got $50 million. They decided to invest, or like... They got hold of some cocaine and sold it for $50 million. So I'm not really sure where this money is coming from, but apparently this $50 million is going to change everything.
Well, right. Well, after that, we drew the comparison between the guys at Razer and then the CEO of Rovio, the company that makes Angry Birds, who had that rant at one point where he was like, look, it's Shigeru Miyamoto, me, and I forget who the other guy was.
Will Ryan, I think.
Right, yeah, something like that. So, and then they've also got this 7-inch PC gaming tablet. I mean, it's a laptop. I don't know why they call it a tablet. That has...
Yeah, it apparently functions exactly as a laptop with a touchscreen.
Right. Yeah. But then it's...
What is this?
Space Marine and Assassin's Creed on it.
But then I think the way Matt put it was, it's got these big Fisher-Price buttons, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have a QWERTY layout. It has... something else going on there.
Right, we could have...
But did that ever come out? I mean, didn't that just get shelved?
How long ago is this? Oh, wow, this is from January 2011. Oh, I have no idea it's possible.
See, I didn't see it on the website.
I'm thinking that thing had OLED buttons.
It looks like it.
And then somebody pointed out they couldn't possibly ship that at a reasonable price, and they had to shelve it.
No, it's still on their site.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think that's basically a phantom.
Find out how much
that
costs.
Paperware.
Yeah, you're probably right. Let's see, gaming on the Switchblade. More about the Razer Switchblade. How much will it cost? See above.
Thanks.
The Razer Switchblade is a concept design. Think of it like a concept car. Thanks for that clarification. And will not be made available for purchase yet.
I like how that clarification of concept would just be use the word concept somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Razer will be working with selected partners to design and launch products based off the Razer Switchblade concept design. We will be announcing more information shortly, so sign up on the registration page to get the news first.
So I found a story in August where they also talk about this, and apparently their tagline for the Switchblade was, PC gaming is dead, eh?
Right, like...
Which is exactly the same. They use the same tagline twice.
God, their marketing department is just terrible.
Apparently they had one idea, which is PC gaming isn't dead.
Right.
And they're saving it.
And that's their thing. And they're pretty
can
late
we, like,
to the party.
Can we get these
that.
Guys, like, just a Steam account so they can just, I don't know, take a look and see what's going on? Or are they aware of any of this?
I would imagine not. So,
it looks like the size of, say, a Vita, but...
It's somehow less useful than a Vita, though, if you look at it. It's...
Well, this plays WoW, and the Vita plays games, so...
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's a good thing Wes isn't here.
Sometimes I'm looking at, like, their mouse pads, and just, you know, just a fucking piece of plastic for your mouse to go over. And, just the names on these things. There's a for $34 you get the Razer Vespula.
Isn't that a
Vespula?
Like a little moped.
Yeah, that's totally a little moped. You also get the Razer Goliathus.
Goliath wasn't enough.
They had
to go Goliathus.
Goliathus.
Yeah, that's like a game loft game actually.
You can get. Yeah, you can get the Specs, which is SPHEX. You can also get the Kabuto, which is presumably Japanese.
That's Kabuto with a Z.
Yeah, somehow there's a silent Z. They have to be aware that they're this fucking embarrassing, right? I mean, it's like this is
maybe it works for them. Maybe they're making money. Because
I
mean,
they got a ton of shit.
The for gamers by gamers thing, maybe that actually does work. Maybe we are. I have a story where my mom will not patronize a lot of businesses unless they hire brown people. So like, she'll go to brown doctors specifically, even though she's been recommended other doctors. So maybe that's the kind of thing with gamers. Maybe they will only buy stuff from other gamers.
I guess, but, you know, like, we hang out with, like, this is, we have no lives, so we hang out on message boards, like, with gamers. We don't know these people, and the people we hang out with do nothing but play video games and also hang out on message boards because their lives are also ruins.
Well, how many people would buy the Dragon Age DLC because Felicia Day was in it?
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But so as many people as that is,
model away.
Speaking of which, you can get the Dragon Age 2 Razer Black Widow Ultimate keyboard for $129.
I feel like this is necessary for your Dragon Age 2
it is.
Sabbatical.
What were you about to say, Matt?
Well, I was just about to say, as many as that is, and as much as we deplore the VGAs, that's not even remotely a significant... It's a significant portion, but not the majority of people playing games out there.
Yeah.
Like, it's as destructive as that image is, I don't think we have to worry about it so much because, like, all the parents who are watching that, they have a Wii. They know what games are.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
So are these, like...
But I mean, like, at that point, you're kind of doing different wars of what gaming's image is. Like, if you're watching Spike TV and you know of Mario... If you see Raiden just slashing a guy up and then, like, a bunch of people cheering to that, that's kind of presenting to you, oh, well, there may be these good games, but the vast majority are this, like, teen wish fulfillment.
Things like that. The VGA has always struck me as, like, the Oscars if the Oscars only talked about Michael Bay.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
We still don't know who these guys are. I mean, is this, like, the Call of Duty crowd? Is it those guys? Because... It's not the Bayonetta guys. It's not the World of Warcraft people because those people aren't watching this shit because they're playing World of Warcraft. So there has to be a market.
The easiest way to do this would be to go to Newegg and look for reviews on Razer products.
So I'm pretty sure that Razer gets all of their money from sponsoring Korean StarCraft players. Well, I mean, not necessarily Korean, but sponsoring like professional StarCraft players and raking in money.
A good way to make money.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that market is
huge. Should
we sponsor a StarCraft II team?
Yes.
I think we should.
We'll just sponsor Wes, and he'll go play.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. So there's that. So there's Razer. I guess they're a company that makes video game and products for dudes that like VGA. So there's
Razer mouse on Newegg has 4 golden eggs as opposed to 5. So people have bought this.
Yeah. Well,
the first thing is good mouse pad. It's a mouse pad. It does what it's supposed to do.
And $50.
That's a pretty good review. So if you are looking,
you know what also does what it's supposed to do? A piece of plywood.
I have an old crappy like foam mouse pad I got at a job 4 or 5 years ago, and it still works.
If my desk wasn't glass, I wouldn't even need this fucking mouse pad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for video gaming or PC gaming stuff, I would like to offer up to you SteelSeries as a pretty good company to buy from. They make a good mouse. It's what I use, so I'm part of their StarCraft team.
That World of Warcraft mouse you linked was pretty hilarious.
Well, I don't even remember which one that was.
So I live on the SteelSeries one you linked.
Oh, right, yes.
Plus, there's so many Razer links, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, there are a lot of Razer links in our chat going on here. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. The World of Warcraft one looks like it would cut your hand off.
Right, yeah, that's the one that looks like a Transformer, mid-transformation, maybe. I don't know. But, so there's that. And then there's also Penny Arcade is doing something with a guy named Ben Kuchera, who I honestly don't know a lot about.
I don't remember anything about him. I feel like he worked for Kotaku at one point.
No, he worked for Ars Technica.
Oh.
Right, which used to be a pretty popular site. I mean, I don't know, it might still be, but it's one I remember I used to go to in college and check stuff out.
I don't remember ever going there for video game news, though.
They think they mostly do, like, no, I don't know.
They used to do, like, crazy in-depth
hardware
video card reviews.
Okay, yeah, they did used to do hardware. But there's another one that sounds like ours. No, yeah, anyways.
Gamma Sutra you might be thinking of?
No, there's another one. Whatever, I can't think of it right now. But yeah, I think you're right, Matt, that they used to do a lot of kind of hardware review stuff. I think specifically video cards. So yeah, I don't know. I've not visited Ars Technica in a very long time, but apparently someone was a cool enough dude there that for Penny Arcade to want to hire. So they're bringing on to do, and I'm reading Tycho's or Jerry Holkin's words here, that they're bringing him on to create industry coverage you can read without holding your nose.
Oh, so I guess Penny Arcade is here to...
like, three new gaming sites in the last 5 weeks.
Right, there's that whole Vox Games thing, which I guess is the unofficial title right now.
Yeah, the funny thing about Vox Gaming is that the rabid reporting on that was coming entirely from other Vox Media websites.
Right.
So, like, there was this huge groundswell of buzz, but nobody really paid attention to the fact that it was all basically internal hype.
Right, from the people either on the actual sites or whatever. I mean, I saw most of it play out via people talking about it on Twitter. You know, a bunch of people like the Idle Thumbs guys and some other folks as well that I follow.
As someone who's been a part of that kind of, like, we're going to make a brand new site for all this stuff founding kind of thing, it never works out the way they think it is. It's, if you start out that cynical, it's going to end up really soul-busting after a while.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time believing that they're going to do anything different, you know, that I could find elsewhere. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I feel about video game news sites.
Has there been a point in when you're, like, you're cruising video game news sites, and you think, you know what, my need is another fucking video game news site.
Yeah, exactly.
That can solve this issue.
When you get to the point where you're being quoted on a... for something you've made on a forum by video game news sites, you kind of don't really see the need for them anymore.
Yeah. I mean, or it's not only that, but I mean, the news that, you know, you can find, there are sites that aggregate this news and you can get the same news on a bunch of different sites. And sure, there might be a different person writing about it, maybe have a different thing to say, but you're getting that same news.
Well, if you always follow the source links of those stories, you tend to find where they're getting their news, right, which is usually a web forum.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's like, what's the point? Just I can easily look peruse these thread titles.
I think the only thing these guys bring to the table is honestly their podcasts. So if whoever the Vox guys are can like replace IGN podcast or like We Can Confirm, because both of those are now completely unlistable pieces of crap. If you guys can just like do that, that'd be great. And that's all I'd really care about.
Right.
Unfortunately, podcast. It's not like a viable business model, as Idle Thumbs figured out.
Well, there are other things that Real Reporting could bring to the table. Being in Seattle, the Penny Arcade guys could actually get interviews.
Right.
And that would be a whole lot more interesting than just here's a recitation of the
actual
headlines from other sites.
Right, good point. That's true.
Maybe they could get interviews, but then again, they would also have to be fighting against like a history of some like 12 years of being dicks to people in the gaming industry. So they have to, like,
that's why they hired a new guy.
Yeah,
right, exactly, yeah. Who is apparently running a Q&A in the Penny Arcade forums right now. I don't know if it's still how much of it is ongoing, but yeah, he's answering some questions about things. Yeah, so there's that. Should be interesting to see what's happening with all these gaming news developments, but I don't think they're going to be in a huge impact.
Speaking of Penny Arcade and like tangentially to gaming hardware, are Mike and Jerry getting kickbacks from Dell? Because every time these guys are on a laptop, it's a fucking, I can tell what Alienware laptop it is by looking at it, and there's no way they're not getting money for this because the branding is so fucking specific.
Right.
If you look at today's podcast, you can even see where they've like changed the LED colors. Oh, then you can change the LED colors on the back of your Alienware thing if you're into that.
Why am I only now? I guess I never really bothered to look for it, but I guess I now know that Alienware is a subsidiary of Dell. I never really realized that before because I never really paid attention to you know, pre-made gaming machines since I've always built my own. Yeah, so I guess there's that. It's possible. I mean, yeah, you're right, though. I mean, every time they have a laptop in the comic, it's, there's a big old alien head on it.
It's the exact same laptop every time. It's the M11X.
Yeah.
Dell does like their corporate whoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty much in every movie and TV show.
Is Alienware going to save PC gaming? Are they doing anything to save PC gaming?
No.
That was what they were trying to do when they started ages ago.
Right, yeah. MX-11 right there, yep.
They basically tried to take the sort of enthusiast home-built rig that was capable of running games decently and make that something that your average PC buyer could actually get without knowing how to build it.
For a $1,000 fee.
Well, yeah, but it at least solved a problem that exists.
Yeah. I don't know that it actually solved it, though. I think it attempted to.
Yeah.
But if you go that kind of Mountain Dew teenager route, you're not going to appeal to the people who would actually be interested in that. Because those are the people who will build their own computer.
Well, I guess it might be what the same argument we were having before, where it's like, those people might be the same people buying this Razer stuff. Like, if you're buying, like, this laptop or this desktop with all the LEDs coming out and you're dropping, like, $2,500 to get that done, maybe you're the guy who's spending $50 on your mouse pad as well.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I don't know. Buy a mouse
pad. It almost feels like that sort of marketing is for... You take the enthusiast who builds his own system, and that sort of marketing is for his little brother who doesn't know how to build his own system but wants to keep up. Like, that's where you get, like, $3,000 Inwares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, as long as we're kind of on the subject of, like, hilarious gaming sites, apparently Kotaku is going to make a gaming site.
Oh.
In other words, Kotaku was a gaming site, and now they're making a gaming site.
Well, technically, it's a filter so you only see gaming news.
So you don't see all their LOL Japan posts.
Yeah, you don't see, like, the sexy cosplay enthusiast wants to do sexy cosplay kind of thing.
This t-shirt will give you nightmares.
I'm Brian Crescente, and here's my open shirt. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Head crab, no head cat. I'm just reading some choice
headlines. See, my issue with Kotaku isn't that they post all that crap, it's that they're specifically vague in their headlines.
Yeah.
So you have to click the article to find out what it's actually about.
The very best in cosplay, Megan Marie. So,
they're doing the Huffington Post thing, which is really fucking annoying. They do the same thing.
What would that be?
Well, where they would, like, for instance, let me just bring up the Huffington Post right now.
Sure.
So, like, they'll say...
Now I'm letting up Kotaku to compare.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good comparison, because both of them can kill a computer.
Yeah, seriously, Jesus Christ. But no, like, they'll have, like, a byline down and say, bad news for Obama, and, like, that's the only thing it'll be, and you click on it, and, like, brings you another page of, like, 12 other, like headlines, and you have to, like, scroll down and see, well, what the hell was the bad news for Obama?
Yeah.
So, oh, wait, there's a bad economic forecast, which may happen 5 months from now, or may not happen, we don't know. Like, right now, there's headlines that, big news for Tim Tebow. Like, looking at it, you have no idea what it is. Yeah, I know exactly what the big news for Tim Tebow is that he's going to be the starting quarterback next year, but you have to click on that fucking little, like, five-word headline to actually get to that, but they could spend the same amount of time saying he's going to be the starting quarterback next year. Never mind the part where the Huffington Post, which is supposed to be about politics and shit, is reporting on Tim Tebow.
By contrast, on Kotaku, if you look to the side, there's a headline that says, it's dangerous, ...
Yeah.
What is dangerous? Tell me.
Reading Kotaku.
Yeah. God, yeah.
It's like, you know, I clicked it, so I guess they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
But it's like, the brilliant thing here is, like, the image they use, which is what I'm looking at. Oh, that looks kind of neat. What's this coming? No, it's from crack.com. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Well, so, video games. But, so, tell me about THQ, someone who knows about THQ.
They have gotten to the point where they have reportedly canceled all their 2014 games, which was a Warhammer MMO and some other projects they have not announced. And they're supposedly getting in the direction of trying to get an Asian firm to buy them, which basically means that they have no money.
Yeah. Specifically, they said, well, of course they denied it, like, immediately afterwards, but specifically the rumors said that they were looking for an Asian firm to buy out the company, which only means one thing: they're selling the brand to sell mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly they're also looking to sell off all of the original IP they have, which is kind of difficult considering, like, they made most of their money off of Disney IP and, like, MMA and WWE stuff.
I think so, people would buy, like, there are probably some companies interested in Saints Row, maybe. Probably Warhammer.
Yeah, Relic, I mean, God, I hope something nice happens to Relic. I mean, but I don't know what the historical, like, evidence is for, like, when a big publisher like this goes under, for, like, them to be able to just sell entire studios just, like, as one piece.
There's going to be a bidding war over a lot of that stuff. Relic may not be in the best position because they probably won't... Companies are not going to want Relic without the IP as well, and that's going to boost the cost a lot.
the really biggest... might be able to keep hold of the IP. It depends how long the contract was signed for.
Yeah, they might be able to keep valid. It, but I don't know that they're going to be able to find publishers.
Yeah.
It's a difficult time. Like, THQ could not be dying at a worse time for these studios.
Yeah.
THQ Montreal is probably going to be the best bet for... Like, I can see EA and Activision bidding over them. Because they have Patrice Deslietz and they haven't actually made anything yet. So they have a ton of experience with no IP hanging them down.
Wouldn't that be very depressing for that guy to finally get on his feet with his own studio where he can do his own shit, gets bought up by Ubisoft, and gets put right back on Assassin's Creed again?
I think at that point he'd probably quit.
Yeah, shoots up the head.
He bet on the wrong horse, which wasn't, like, THQ looked good at the time.
Yeah.
And now they're at a point where they don't have the money to market the games they're making. Like, Darksiders 2 is still going to come out, but I'd be really surprised unless something big happens that they can actually market that game.
Well, I mean, they still have a few things they can rely on. Presumably, Relic is working on another Warhammer at some point. I mean, they've got to be. UFC might be a big deal. It's been almost 2 years now since the last UFC game, so hopefully there's actually a market there. You know, the WWE games supposedly do all right for them every year. So, I mean, if they can, like, regroup after this, they might still be in good shape. But, I mean, if they're at the point where they're actually looking for outside money, it might be done.
I think they're probably... If pink slips weren't handed out today, it's going to be soon.
Yeah.
And that's probably, like, Vigil, I'm sure, is going to get a lot of their people cut because they have a team working on an MMO, which is not feasible at this time.
No. Well, the MMO was... God, that had been a bad idea to begin with.
About most MMOs. Unless you're flush with cash like EA, it doesn't make sense. Like, you have Blizzard, you have EA, and you have a bunch of Koreans. And that's pretty much the entire MMO market.
I'm sure it sounded like a really good idea like 3 years ago when Games Workshop was gearing up for this shit.
Yeah.
So we see like 18 billion people like hook up to World of Warcraft. Let's get a chunk of that, and then that started dying out, and now those people are going to like the Old Republic anyway.
That's why they canceled like their 2014 games, because when the stuff they're already releasing in 2012, 2013. Is already they've dumped up so much money in it that they have to release those.
Right, they got to follow through.
Yeah, but now, I mean, we'll still see Darksiders 2. We'll probably still see a Saints Row 4.
Yeah, presumably.
I think we're looking at the implosion of THQ. They've been actually begging manufacturers to not move ahead with the generation.
Yeah, because they can't afford SDKs.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Well, that is sad.
It's going to be a rough time for them. Hopefully people can still find jobs at other companies.
Yeah.
Hopefully not many of them get bought by EA.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. Well, hopefully...
And sucks for, like, us, like, people who use Steam, because THQ is one of the biggest proponents of Steamworks.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of, apparently Saints Row the Third is getting some crazy TF2-related DLC.
Yeah, masks.
Which, masks, all the TF2 masks, heavies, medics, everything. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully, who knows? I mean, sometimes when these companies collapse, a lot of the people maybe start a new one or go off on their own or something.
On the bright side, it's like there's probably a really good chance that we can buy some IP for really cheap.
Fucking buy RoboPet. It can't cost that much.
Just do it.
No. Yeah, or like Destroy All Humans. Like, everybody remembers Destroy All Humans. I'm sure we can do a good job with that or something.
See, like, the big problem with THQ is their business model. Like, about 4 or 5 years ago, they had a specific thing where, I forgot his name, Roy Bilson, I think, decided that THQ's business model was going to be developers make what they want, and THQ, the publisher, would try to sell it. And occasionally this would work out, because Diplob hit, like, a million. And Saints Row 3 was doing pretty well. But occasionally it didn't work out, because, like, Warhammer, or Space Marine didn't make that much money.
Yeah.
Then they had a bunch of other flops, and... It's not as bad as it is to say it, as much as I dislike EA, the way they're doing things, perhaps without that much money, is probably the best bet. A very tight, Vader-like grip on this sort of thing.
Yeah. Good enough.
And EA is still, like, capable of producing, every once in a while, producing, like, something like Dead Space 2. We should look at it, so that's pretty amazing. But it's like, you realize something was up when, like, Space Marine And they said that it did better than expectations, did twice better than expectations. Probably still not going to have a sequel.
Darksiders 2 didn't make money, and they were like, by the third game, we should make money. And that's a terrible way to think of this.
Is Darksiders 2 out?
Or Darksiders 1, sorry.
Oh, okay. That's what I was about to say.
They don't expect to make money in Darksiders 2 either.
Yeah.
Somehow, but apparently Homefront managed to make money despite itself. I've never seen exactly what the story is on that, but apparently it like sold a million copies at least.
Big so marketing campaigns will always work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the question is, can you do that for a second game?
Is that they think they're a big player in the industry. They think that they can... They've gotten caught up in the crossfire between EA and Activision trying to out-butcher themselves.
And they just changed their logo and everything. It's...
They're a AA publisher in a industry that does not allow AA games anymore.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you see what like 2K and Ubisoft are able to do. They're able to like do their own thing. They're like staying out of the line of fire. They're not out there saying, "Well, we need a Call of Duty clone." So you don't see Ubisoft or Take-Two going in that direction. They know what
Ubisoft
their strengths
would
are
do
to
it
play
if,
to.
If and when Assassin's Creed starts losing sales, they're going to jump on that. I think we'll probably be seeing massive layoffs from them sometime next year because they don't have anything else. They're pretty much the Assassin's Creed company right now.
So how many more Assassin's Creeds are we going to see?
There's Assassin's Creed 3 scheduled for this year. I'm sure they have a launch title for Next Generation. They supposedly have a separate Wii U game coming up. They have a separate Vita game coming up.
Wait, what is Assassin's Creed 3?
They haven't said yet. We're going to find out.
Wait, when did Revelations or the new one come out?
November?
December. It's Assassin's Creed is a yearly thing now.
Yeah.
But isn't
Revelations 3 or is Revelations 2.75?
Revelations is 2-3.
2-3, okay. Got it, like, I think.
I guess
the only thing more hard than like trying to sort out the Assassin's Creed SKUs is trying to sort out the actual Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, because God knows like what history they're dealing with or anything.
Yeah, all right.
But I mean, that thing's not going to last forever. I've already seen people like complaining about how Revelations is feeling long in the tooth. If 3 doesn't pick things up, then I think that series is going to be not on its way out, but it's going to be not the moneymaker they think it is.
I want
to
see Saints Creed 3.
Ubisoft, actually, I could see them buying Volition.
Assassin's Cell.
There's like people have been tossing around rumors that Nintendo would be interested in hiring Vigil and rolling them into Retro because they're both Austin-based developers.
What was Vigil responsible for?
Darksiders.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that would make sense because I mean, they basically make Nintendo games. It's worth.
All right.
Nintendo actually doesn't like to buy companies anymore, so I'm not sure I believe those rumors. I think Vigil is probably going to end up probably going independent if THQ bails in the next year or two, which they probably will. Then Vigil is probably going to go independent, and THQ Montreal is going to be involved in a bidding war. Awful predictions where people lose their jobs. Hooray!
Yay!
Oh, no job losing. All right. Well, I believe our time here has come to an end. So thanks for listening. For myself, Brian Belita, Imran Khan, Mark Bradshaw, and Matt Pierce, of course, thanks for joining us. We will see all of you cats later.
See ya.
Video games.
See ya.